Hi, I'm Clemmie Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. As someone that loves an in-depth chat, I'm thrilled to be partnering with Smarty Mobile, who are all about being the transparent mobile network with honest values. They offer unrivaled value for money, starting with their £10 a month no commitment SIM-only plan that gives unlimited calls, texts and a massive 30 gig of data and no contract. It's a smart way to stay connected. Head over to smarty.co.uk/honestly for more details. Thank you, Smarty Mobile. Hello and welcome to another episode of Honestly. This one is a joyful one and no surprise given who my guests are. One is founder of beauty brand Isle of Paradise and body positive campaigner Jules Von Hepp. The other is the world's first and only comparison coach, Lucy Sheridan. And they join me to talk about comparison. On first hearing it, you may not think that comparison is something that impacts you, but research suggests that is almost certainly untrue. Comparison undermines so much of our internal dialogue, and add to that the advent of social media and the ability to see what other people are up to nearly all of the time, and it's a heady combination that can easily get inside your head. During the episode, Jules and Lucy teach us how to spot comparison triggers and offer tons of advice of how to avoid them, which I, for one, really need. So here it is. Let's get stuck in. We start with a quick fire round, and bear in mind that the title of this podcast is Honestly.
Yeah, cool.
So, I mean, I wouldn't expect you two to be anything but honest.
No. I'll 100% be honest.
Yeah. What's that expression? Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Yeah.
I love that.
Lucy, you have so many expressions, and I quote you so often, it's almost weird. And so it's a bit awkward that you're here because I can't then quote you about you.
Oh,
but
babes,
I take them from, I do always say that they're yours.
Oh, thanks, pal.
You're good. On a scale of 1 to 10, how fun are you?
Oh, solid 8.5 on a good day.
10. And I think I'm really fun.
You are really fun.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how popular are you?
Oh, gosh, imposter syndrome makes you want to say 4, but I'm going to go like 8.
Oh, popular is a word that made me... I went all funny when you said
that. Yeah, my skin crawled a bit.
I want to do like an equilibrium and just say 5 and just say it in the middle so it doesn't matter either way.
So no one can judge you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very triggering, isn't it? On a scale of 1 to 10, how rebellious are you?
I want to say 7.
I'd probably say like 5.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I'm not really
well.
Very rebellious. I kind of tend to colour within the lines fair bit, I think.
I used to think I was a rebel, but I'm really not. A rebel within quite safe parameters. Yeah.
I don't like boundaries. I don't like conformity.
As soon as
it presents itself, I don't want to do it.
Oh, okay, got you.
I'm going to wait because I'm going to ask you in a minute what star sign you are, but we'll wait.
I was going to say, I've seen your birth chart, so I expect more.
Favourite colour?
Oh, God, don't know.
Green.
Oh!
Let's
just spun Lucy out.
Gold.
Okay.
Fabulous. So on brand.
Oh, this is interesting. So we're talking about this off mic. How would you describe your relationship with money?
Ever improving.
Oh, a good answer. Turbulent, I would say. I want to say it's strong, but no. And I don't think my brain will ever be able to have a strong relationship with money. It's one of those things that I can shove to the back of the pot. Yeah. Or I can deal with it straight up front. There's always procrastination, there's comparison, there's lots of things that come to me in the form that is birthed from money, I think.
Interesting. Do you believe in marriage?
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah.
Is it ever okay to lie?
Oh, well, I will say I've talked about lying a lot in therapy. So I would say sometimes it is okay to lie, yeah, because a lot often lying comes from a place of learned ways to protect ourselves. Lying under malice, no. I think I'm not sure that's a kind of yes-no question for me. So I'm going to say yes, sometimes it is okay to lie because sometimes I have got borrowed outside of the truth for... virtuous reasons, Your Honour.
I think it all depends on the context of the lie. I think yeah, it is okay to lie. I'm not very good at lying. It shows instantly in my face. But I think lying, if you've done something really wrong that you should be owning up to, is wrong.
Yeah,
but I think lying if a friend, if you're literally on the way out for a night out, your friend feels great and she's like, what do you think of these shoes? And you don't want to be like, they are awful. No. But you want to be like, you look fab, babe. Yeah. Out we go. Yeah. And then there you go.
Well, growing up, we talked a lot about white lies. And is white lies something you...
It's like a scale of lies, isn't there?
White lies. Yeah. Yeah. Not hurting anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Not telling the truth.
Yeah, intent to mislead and the kind of the darker areas of that. I'm like, no. Because sometimes you can tie yourself up in lies, can't you? And then it's never worth it.
No.
I heard this great thing, which was... you can forgive the person, not the act.
Mm.
That's helped me a lot. I also feel like it depends big time, because I can carry a grudge with aplomb. But then there is a time when I'm like, well, hold on, because I believe in the law of three. Like, so I do one good thing, I get three good things back. I do one bad thing, get bad things back three times. So I think if I'm not willing to forgive, then I am going to encounter that when I really need the benefit of the doubt or for someone to hear my apology. So I think, again, that's case by case basis. But ultimately, sometimes it's just not worth carrying the grudge, and sometimes it can be great fire.
What star sign are you both?
I'm Leo Sun, Libra Moon, Pisces Rising.
Interesting. So what's your main... I know that's...
Well, they say that the way you present to the world is you're rising. So I would say Pisces. My sun sign, my zodiac sign is Leo. But I heard it described to me that... So anyone, like someone born on, like, say, 27th of July and the 11th of August will be a Leo as well. Yeah. But rising signs change every half hour, which is why it can be incredibly significant to gain better astro understanding, to know the location and the time of your birth, because they will flip every half hour or so. And that's in my belief system. I'm not presenting any of these as facts, but I believe that we choose when we incarnate. So that's significant. But Leo is by the sun.
So mine is Virgo, but my rising is Pisces.
Oh, what a complicated mix.
And then the other is Libra. So.
What do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, my God.
Sorry, these are not very quick fire
questions.
Are
these
for
are
how
brilliant.
I made people feel, I think.
He's ready for that.
I it was a quick thing of like, I'm going to die in 5 minutes. What do I want to be remembered for?
Yeah, I would. Sorry to be lazy, but that really resonates with me too. To like to leave any space a little bit different or better than I found it, even if that's challenging someone about what they thought, not just about kind of like hugging it out sort of thing. But yeah, I really resonate with that. So can I borrow that from Jules too?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. If you could have more of anything, what would it be?
Oh my gosh, this is great. You know, a year ago, I might have said energy, but I've really tried to be like not just talk the talk on taking care of myself for the last 18 months or so. So this is, I feel like, because I haven't gone, oh, definitely want more energy. That is like a nice
shifted.
Fist pump for myself there. Just gonna have a self-congratulatory moment, or as Sarah Powell would say, I'll have a self-celebration moment.
I would definitely say time and confidence. Definitely for both of those.
Yeah, I would say just a little bit more patience, to not be so as well. I can be so onto the next thing, but then I have quite a bit of Sag in my chart as well. So that's like centre, canter, which is great if you want to get something off the ground. But sometimes I can run out of puff and then become like, I just want to sit down now. I don't want to play anymore. And that can be a bit exhausting for those around me. But I'm working on it. When you know about it, you can do something about it.
Last one of the quickfire round. Three words your inner critic or imagined worst enemy uses to describe you.
That I'm a show off. And that is so like from, that goes back to like I've done quite a bit of inner child work, and that definitely goes back to my my childhood. And I've had to really work on that today, because as a company of one, I have to present and talk about what I'm doing
and decide down, to say things. Like,
yeah, and it really triggers me. And I know it's like still there because it sometimes triggers me in other people. And I'm like, oh, such a show off. I'm like, oh man, like, let yourself be a show off. Like, they're not here anymore. You can say exactly what you want. Like, twirl around if you want to.
But I wonder how many boys hear that, because I think that's something that's said to girls so often.
Yeah, I dare say you're right. Or it might be like there's the, oh, just calm down.
Yeah.
I used to get that a lot as well. I'm like, yeah, but these, you know, these tools are, like, toys are really fun, you know.
What, when you're overexcited?
Yeah, like, sad, just calm down.
I think, for me, feeling like an idiot, that's something, the way people say you're an idiot, feeling like people think I'm faking it. And
faking what?
Just faking everything. Yeah. I suffer with imposter syndrome so badly. And it's like, I get like a little voice in my head going, you don't deserve, like, not deserve this, but people are going to find you out.
Yeah.
But I know that it's nonsense because nobody knows really what they're doing and everyone's spinning plates.
Yeah.
But it's just this thing that's there for me. And I think, I don't know what the third one will be. Probably something about my appearance, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I think that imposter syndrome is something that I'm so glad we have a term for it now. People can identify it in itself. It's like having a name for it, I think, starts to take away a bit of the power from it.
But I
certainly would relate to that. Like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Or, you know, I love Brené Brown, but I'm not a Harvard or, like, you know, I'm not a career academic. I'm like, I should know more and I should have more of these things, when actually it gets to the point where it's like, well, then you're just accumulating stuff out of, like, vanity and not actually using what you have already. I do feel a bit of pressure around that.
Well, that was the light-hearted intro.
Deep, man.
Sorry, guys.
Now I'm glad I'm sat down.
Glad you had your lunch.
I was just about to say that.
Are you regretting not eating now? I'm spinning out of you.
That girl on the edge.
So now on to the big topic, and I'm very glad to have you two here in one room. You are both brilliant additions to my Instagram feed. Very often clear my head when some things are cloudy for different reasons. Often you're dancing.
Thanks,
I do something when I start watching. I'm like, I can't stop watching.
I know.
Like, really,
so much joy, doesn't it?
Must put my phone down. I'm like, oh no. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
And I think part of the reason you both bring such joy is, even though you're talking like you don't, you do actually both know who you are, or you're beginning to learn very much who you are and owning that. Which brings me kind of neatly, I think, into the big topic, which is comparison. And I need to say that at a point in this podcast, I asked Instagram about this topic, and everyone was like, are you getting Lucy in? Are you getting Lucy in? So luckily, I'm not going to disappoint them. It is you.
Thanks, babes. What a relief. I've just spent a fortune on trademarking.
Yeah. It's work. The branding's work. People get it. You are the shorthand. So I guess the most obvious question is comparison something that affects you?
Yes, absolutely. And I would say, because I kind of use this hashtag about, like, living comparison free, but it really is an aimful point for me. So I do compare myself, absolutely. And what I would say is my comparison episodes are more spread out and kind of short-lived and more intense than they used to be. So before, a comparison episode used to just take me down for a week at a time. I'd see something or hear something and then that was it. Like, the touch paper was lit. It was all over. I was away. But now, because of the awareness and because of, like, the mission, I suppose, I experience it in a very different way now. And I just know that's a cue to, like, be gentle,
let
it into your system. Yeah, go back, go, what's really going on? Mm-hmm. I can get there quite quickly now. But it took a while.
Jules, for you?
Comparison, I think you can't be human unless you answer yes. Everyone does compare. I tend to compare with who I think I should be. That's a real, like, trigger for me.
So with yourself?
With myself. And because I've consciously made an effort to not follow or be around people that I feel the comparison trap coming and I just massively sidestep away. I'm like, nope, I do not want to be friends with you, purely for the fact you're going to send me into an absolute spiral. And you're just like, you're great, you're awesome, but it's too much for me. So I recognize that the comparison's coming. It's like, it's almost like the hairs on the back of your neck go up and you're like, here we
go. Like a warning system activates.
Yeah,
like,
at the moment, it's around, I'm at that age where I'm almost going to get engaged, then going to get the house, then going to get babies. So but I'm just at that first bit. And so when I'm seeing friends go through it, that is something that's massively triggering me at the moment. But I just have to remember, I keep going, no, calm. Yeah. This is just what's happening. It's okay. Mm. It's just comparison. But I think it's normal to compare. And yeah. I think comparison also... it's not always a bad thing. It can show you what you actually really want and what you desire to have. And I think if you turn the mindset around that way and go, that's okay.
Well,
I want the bifold doors. Yeah. Like we always say, no, yeah. My comparison is Arga bifold doors. It sends me west. But I keep reminding myself of that, like those bifolds is just, just keep aiming for that and you'll get it and it's fine. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's fine. And it's just a window at the end of the day, but it's more than just a window.
Yeah, I know. It's what it stands for. Yeah, I know.
You know, it's so weird.
It's like the comparison's looking for a host. A bit like a cold is looking
for
a host.
That's so true.
Because like you say, you'll see your comparison trigger from like 2 years ago, even a couple months ago. You're like, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
And then you'll get sat next to someone at an event or you meet someone at a party, like they, you don't even know them. And then suddenly they're like the host. Yeah. Then the host just gets transferred and it's like, oh, now this is my new comparison trigger. How fantastic.
Oh, I like that thing. Yeah, that way of thinking. It's very strange.
It's like a shapeshifter. Like
But that's so with so many issues, isn't there? Like I will fixate on someone being the trigger for all sorts of things, and then you unpack it, and then you're like, oh yeah, you're not it anymore. So I was going to ask you, do you think it changes over different phases of your life? And definitely, siblings and school. That's really
And I used to be a comparison generalist, so I would compare myself in lots of different ways to different people and different things, and now I'm a comparison like specialist, so it's mainly kind of work. I see people's relationship, don't give a shit. Like, okay, oh, in summer around holidays, and I'm like, am I the only person not drinking Minuti in the south of France? Like, am I guarding the kingdom because everybody has gone on holiday? But it's kind of, I set an alarm for myself in December as in, like, get booking your holiday now, be one of those smuggos coming up.
I think a lot of people didn't know what comparison is. Like, so I didn't know until I'd met you, Lucy. I didn't know that what I was suffering was comparison. Mm. I just thought it was my life was crap, or things weren't working out for me, or it must be something that I'm doing that made me feel bad, and I was on the wrong path. But actually, when you think about something, it's almost like you come out of the situation and look down on it, and you go, hang on, I'm comparing myself. That's what this is. Yeah. And then it all becomes clearer.
But the problem is, it is so innate, isn't it? As you say, and now as a mother, I realise that you do it with siblings straight away. And it's not even from a negative place. It's just, a way of trying to define someone to begin with. But that becomes something that we just live by, isn't
totally,
it?
Totally,
You know, you're the fun one, you're the naughty one, the energy. People don't even realise they're doing it.
I think as well, a workplace is very triggering for comparison. Yeah. I think we're all in we all have our own careers, as it were, but there are lots of people who are on that ladder of exec, manager, director, and you're going up and you've got your peers at work and maybe one is climbing quicker than you and somebody's moving around, one of your friends is jumping from office to office and climbing the ladder. That in itself is a minefield. It's like for comparison, that's such a trap of thinking, because then you get into the conversation around money and status, and you've got someone turning up for lunch and they've got a new bag, they've got something else. Now, it can be very confusing.
Yeah. And it can bring up other like extra things there too, because let's just say as well, like, because you see yourself as in a cohort. So if you think about yourself from cohorts from school that were kind of put together, and then someone pings up on the gram or even an anecdote shared at a party, and you're like, what? But they were like
that.
They were like in the low, like, hold on, I was above them in maths or whatever it was. And you take yourself back to those kind of rankings too, and that's can be one of the dark sides of comparison as well. It not only affects us in that, like, I don't necessarily feel worthy, when am I going to get mine, but it makes us feel like they're not worthy, they don't deserve it, I should have
which
that.
Which is not a very nice thing to even...
No, but it just feels gross, doesn't it?
And you say that we're all like self-employed, but actually, obviously, there's no denying that social media is, you know, literally you're seeing numbers ticking by next to you see,
it can send you west.
Yeah, and I know for myself, I'm really bad at being like, oh, why wasn't I invited to that?
There's a magic thought there, though, which is like, it'll always be your time. Mm. And in rooms you'll never go into, people that you'll never know are having conversations you'll never hear about you. Mm. Whether it's happening right now, or it's 2 weeks away, or it's 6 months away, yeah. that will happen. And then things start to happen out of the blue using air bunnies. And it's like, oh, hi, just wanted to get in touch about this. You're like, thank you. Now it's my time. Yeah. It's almost like, yeah. there are lots of different analogies you can use, but it's almost about kind of like, you know, when you go on holiday and your like plane has to wait to go to the runway, it's like, there will be a time when someone goes, right, over here, let's go. And yeah. you can, it feels like that. It feels like an emerging, like, oh, a shift has happened. Mm. Like, not, I've been noticed, it's yeah. me, but like, oh, I no. told me so.
Mm. And but also holding on to that, you know, because yeah. sometimes we're not very good at acknowledging when your time yeah. has come. A quick ad break to thank the sponsor of this podcast, Smarty Mobile, for their no-nonsense, honest approach to keeping us all connected. For just £10 a month, you're able to get unlimited calls and texts, plus 30 gig of data, so there's no need to worry about streaming all the podcasts you like. Also wanted to talk about how it comparison manifests itself, because whether that it's emotional, but sometimes it can be very physical as well, mm. can't it?
Oh yeah, it's a reaction, really. I mean, I get quite hot in my body. My adrenaline starts to pump and I'm like, oh, here I am. It's like I've stepped into a hot spot.
Definitely manifesting comparison comes a lot with body, especially in groups. And I hear this a lot with women, is I hate my insert body part, and they sit together. Guys are very much more internal, but girls, I'm on lots of shoots and, oh, my thighs are fat. I hate my thighs too. Oh yeah, this is, and manifesting saying over and over and over again.
Like, my big trigger is my stomach. And so I spend the whole time looking at other people's flat stomachs, but not thinking about my bum. Whereas there's someone who's worrying about their bum. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Everyone's just doing different things. And once you kind of go, oh, no point, is yeah. there? No one's looking yeah, at me.
Enjoy the beach.
Yeah, enjoy the beach.
But the manifesting, if you yeah. keep saying the yeah. negative things that yeah. you believe about yourself yeah. that comes a lot of the time from comparison mm. with yeah. body, you will just believe yeah. that. Yeah. You believe that because that will be your reality truth. Because you keep saying it. And I'd say a lot to my followers, I said, just focus on the bits that you like. Yeah. Like, my love handles is, it triggers me big time. But, and it's from comparison so much. Yeah. But I really like my eyes and I really like my face. And then I just, about a year ago, I started hammering that into myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And it's totally taken away the body hang-up of the other part by just focusing on the positive.
Yeah. And what's great then too is that it makes us feel more whole, because then it's suddenly like, actually, my teeth are quite nice. And wow, this neck, like my necklace sits so beautifully on my neck. And before you know it, you're seeing yourself as a whole rather than this item, like these items
put
it together.
Just gets distorted.
But it all bottles back down to our society of, oh, don't say, don't brag. Don't gloat, because you don't want to be that person that gloats.
Oh, yeah. But
actually, it's totally fine to say all the negative things and the things that you hate. I mean, let's just take a moment to be like, what is that?
And I really wonder whether that's quite a British thing as well. We
definitely
love an underdog, don't we?
Yeah.
We sit very comfortably.
But also in America, then they do it. They all talk and say the things that they hate. I think this is a global thing, but we just need to talk about the things that we like.
A good catch there is if you hear someone criticise and you go, oi, that's my mate you're talking about there.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm not having you talk about my mate like that. And it immediately kind of like snaps people out of it to an extent.
Because you're right, there's a real bonding thing that we do, either being bitch, especially females, either being bitchy or being critical. Mm. And you have to just stop it.
You have to stop it. You have to completely stop it. And if I hear it a lot, actually, with weddings and bridal clients that I might be working with. And there's lots of, I've been on this diet, I've been on this, and they're all trying to get to goal weight, and then all the bridesmaids are on it, and then all their friends who are getting married are all on it, and it goes round and round and round and round and round. And actually, if you just don't participate in that conversation and you don't join in, and that conversation can still happen. You can't control other people saying what they're going to say, but if you can control whether you're going to join in. And when you don't join in, that is when it all goes away.
It requires your participation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And weddings are a particularly potent example, because there's like this checklist of comparison, aren't there? and actually, and from my own wedding day, the bit that I the most precious to me was the bit when I said my vows to him.
Yeah.
Because there was no, this is how that should look, or this is how it should be. It's like the most pure part of it. And it's a shame that it gets so distorted, because essentially you're declaring your love for someone in front of the people you care about, but it comes down to how thin you've got, your flowers, the food. Yeah.
But also it's not maintainable.
No.
Because you're going for goal weight. But goal weight, and my PT was saying he hates it when clients come and they're like, I've got this event, I want to be like this. And he's like, it is crushing, because he knows that it's not going to be maintainable. And the thing is, then what I see and hear, especially with friends, with clients, is, oh, but I looked like this on my wedding day. Why don't I look like... And then you compare yourself to a version of yourself that is completely unrealistic.
Well, that was actually... So funny you should say that. I've had two light bulb moments personally recently. And one of them, I don't know if it's via you, Lucy, is that nostalgia is just a sepia tone version of comparison.
Yeah.
And I am so bad, especially because you can do like time hop. Yeah. And like, I'm so bad.
I don't have any of those apps because it will send me where.
Yeah. I took them off.
Yeah, not good for me. It's in the past.
Yeah, I like to look at my kids when they're babies.
Yeah,
I don't want to take that on.
No.
But it's interesting, isn't it? I'm never going to be the 25-year-old version of myself again. And in so many ways, I wouldn't want to be, because my growth has been huge. But it's mad, isn't it? You're comparing yourself, particularly your body often, to a chapter that it's never going to be. Mm. And the other one, Lucy, again you, but that you are someone else's trigger.
Yeah.
That is the first time I heard that. I was like, wow.
It's true. Like, even if you are working in like a garden centre in Inverness listening to this right now, you are someone else's trigger. It's someone from a class from school, or that you go to the gym with every so often, or it's like another parent, whatever it is. You are guaranteed at least one person's trigger. And I know this to be true. That's why compassion is so important, because we're all kind of in this together, participating in this together. And it's not your job to shrink or dilute who you are to just get along with other people and for them not to compare themselves to you. You've got to live your life. But we all experience it. Every single person, everyone will be triggered by someone else. In this day and age where so many more people are questioning what their version of success is, using air bunnies again, it's really important that we are just showing up as ourselves, because you'll inspire someone to try something, or they might save one of your posts and think, I'm going to keep that. And yet, if you're worried about triggering people's comparison, we'd all just be kind of sitting, at home, not doing anything.
Mm. Interesting. As I mentioned earlier, I always like to ask the good people of Instagram about the topic. So I did a little bit of research. So first of all, I asked my audience, do you struggle with comparison? Mm. 85% said they did. I'm like, what about the rest of you?
Yeah.
You're in denial, but maybe they're not. And then I asked them what they compare themselves against. So 55% said family was the trigger. I asked them if friends were the trigger, and 86% said it was. Colleagues, 75%. Mm. People on social media, 69%. Mm. And an imagined or younger version of yourself was 67%. Mm. And it is that thing that the human mind is absolutely bonkers, that our biggest comparison is often ourselves. Mm. Like, we just tie ourselves in knots, don't we?
Yeah, and we don't honour, like, you've got a great exercise for this, Jules, remember doing when we did a workshop together, where you think about, like, maybe there's a picture of you at a certain point in your life, and then even if you just write down the age and you then, you know, think about yourself right now, you think about all the things you've learned and accomplished
and achieved
over that point that have made you who you are today. There's so much to give thanks for. And ultimately, it's like this energetic whiplash of always looking to the past really doesn't serve us now, because it's energy you won't get back. So it's such a waste of time. You can celebrate everything that was in all its glory and take all of that with you too. But if you keep looking back with the I wish, that just puts you in a mindset of like, well, what I have now isn't enough or good enough. And that can be a really slippery slope.
But it also works the other way, isn't it? It's that imagined, or by often when it's milestone birthdays, it can be a trigger for people. You know, by the time I'm 30, my life will look like this.
Yeah. Or even New Year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge trigger. What have I achieved? What have I not achieved? Like,
and you often overlook the achievements.
But I think I found it really interesting about the family stat in that. Mm. And family, siblings, cousins, they're all of the same age. Someone's done one thing. And it's always a little comment somewhere, isn't it? And it sticks.
Because it's really hard with family that you get set into these roles. Mm. And that's sometimes why being in family situations can be really triggering, because you're like, the person I was when I 10
yeah.
is not who I am now. Yeah. And to get people to re-see you in a different way, I guess.
That's it.
But I think with family, we are so programmed to believe that everybody in our family, including our parents, their view on the world is right.
Yes.
Yeah. And
the ultimate one.
Amy Schumer had a chapter in her book that just, it was like this light bulb for me, where her mum cheated on her dad. And she said, she finishes this chapter by saying, you know, we're programmed to believe that they're amazing, but actually they're just as fucked up as we are. And it's two fucked up individuals bringing up the next one. Yeah. And then when I saw that, it just unknotted so much about comparison, especially within my family. I was like, oh, actually, no. This is all wrong.
Yeah. But it's a massive thing to lift, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I asked the audience, what is the most likely thing to trigger comparison? And they said, other people's success, and then I hate myself for it. Mm. Children, people on holiday,
yeah.
Money and house decor. Mm. So, yeah, the bifold doors.
Yeah.
Conventional family situation, well-behaved children, people's food choices. It's like, it's,
wow.
Yeah, pregnancy announcements, relationship goals, finances, weight, tidy homes, and people exercising.
Very interesting.
That's
a whole like case, and that is all. That's all your stuff, and believe that. And then you go. I think you bottle it back, and it goes right up the line of what someone said somewhere, and all of that is the belief in how you see yourself and you feel that you are defined.
Yeah.
Because if you're looking at someone going, she's lost 10 pounds. Doesn't she look great? Well, that doesn't define who she is, and it doesn't mean that she's happy.
No.
Yeah, you don't know why she's lost 10 pounds. No. And so then you have to unpack all of that.
Yeah, totally.
And exercise, that's a big one. That exercise used to really trigger me. If I saw someone posting in the gym,
you feel lazy.
And I wasn't in the gym, and I'd be like, oh.
Yeah,
but you have to recognise it for what it is and actually try and put yourself in their position of the person posting that picture or talking about that workout and go, oh, they're just proud of themselves. It's fine. Yeah. They're not judging me.
I asked people how the comparison manifested itself, emotionally, physically, or what actions does it trigger?
Yeah.
People said, voice is telling me that I'm not good enough or valuable as that person. Anxiety, panic attacks, feeling sick all the time. Mm. It starts off as emotional and then becomes physical because I eat my feelings.
Mm.
Guilt about the fact that I can't cope, but I see people coping with much more. Self-loathing, self-criticism manifests as me staying constantly busy. Then the negative thoughts can't creep in. Physically, purchasing things on credit that I can't afford. Anger, sadness, regret. Instant gratification, food, alcohol, and shopping. Mm. There's definitely a thing of like, oh, I know that they're doing a lot and they seem to be acing it.
But also, like, stick in your lane. What one person might not find stressful, another person might.
Yeah.
And what one person is, you don't like, you never know what's going on behind closed doors.
No.
I've had a really lucky job where I've been in and out of people's homes
for a
living.
Yeah.
Listen, on the outside, there's someone who's on that red carpet every night. On the inside, she can't do a washing.
Yeah.
You know, there's. But there's stuff piled high. There's people in and out. It's chaos, and you don't know what's going on behind that when that door's shut.
No,
because from the outside we're all swans, but underneath those little flippers are going.
And also with people coping, I've had other guests on this podcast, you know, with dealing with cancer and things like that, and actually they're coping, but they don't want to be coping. It's like
they just don't have a choice.
So, people who. For me, when we were in a very difficult time financially and I looked like I was acing it at work, it's because I was absolutely in survival mode because I needed to get some money in the bank.
Yeah.
And so, it's quite an interesting thing to remember.
Yeah.
I asked people if they had the tools to stop comparison. I tell myself, if they can, so can I.
Mm.
There is truth in the old saying, comparison is the thief of joy. Switching off social media. Not yet, but hoping that CBT will help. And someone also said a gratitude journal.
Yes,
actually,
recommend.
Not someone. Loads of people said that. But
that is brilliant. Gratitude is incredible.
And then I asked them if they had any other questions about comparison. And Jules, you touched on that earlier, but the comparison isn't necessarily always bad. And I can definitely agree with it. It can be motivational sometimes if you can understand. It's what you do with that initial feeling, isn't it?
And I think it's also recognising that it is comparison. Mm. You know, we've said it before, but just going, yes, okay, I know what I'm feeling right now. I can either use this to drive me to the thing that, yes, I want, or I can allow myself to go into the spiral of, yeah, doom and allow, give yourself that, yeah, 24 hours that it can take. It's okay to go down, but know that you'll come back up again.
Absolutely.
And someone said, rightly, there's a flip of the coin, which is sometimes comparison reminds you of how lucky you are.
Oh, yeah. You know. Very much so, yeah. A really great coping technique that I would recommend is when you're feeling comparison, and we've talked a bit about the emotional and the physical responses, let it run through your system.
Yes.
Like, let it don't run through the system. Like, you know, when you press shuffle on your Spotify, you don't want to hear the song, but like it's not safe to change it, you're on hands-free. Just let it run through your system. A few deep, big belly breaths will just start to dissolve away the kind of hot, difficult emotions from it. And what that means is you'll dispel the comparison episode in that moment, yeah, rather than storing it. And then you don't see like their friend post about like their holiday and then like you push the door instead of pulling it and then you're like, I can't even open a door. You know, it just that you don't gather that evidence against yourself.
Yes, yeah.
Just dispel the moment.
I also have put a little note here. It's a cliche, but so often we're judging the worst of ourselves against the best of other people. And I think it's Zoe Motherkind who talks about how, oh, yeah, we, even when our best friends are coming around, we shove, yeah, things in the dishwasher. Like, yeah, there's so few people seeing the very, very true example.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
people might think my house is tidy. It is not. Things are shoved everywhere.
Yeah.
You're comparing yourself against a fictional version of their life, but there'll be so much more going,
yeah,
on.
I love those lists that when they come up, I always learn something about, yeah, someone. And then it's like, again, it's just that check of giving, you know, being happy for someone and what they've been through and equally honouring what it's taken as well.
Yes.
Like, just more compassion, more kindness always, really.
A nice segue into my last question is, how do we avoid continuing this into the next generation?
I think that is part of the clues in the question there, is like taking personal responsibility, because we're always, always, always being observed. So if you're kind of offloading in front of your kids about not looking a certain way or not having a certain amount of likes, just know that you're programming them for the same.
Yeah.
So it's not, don't be, just be on a high level of awareness, swap judgment for observation on this, because we're not going to do this perfectly, so let's just everyone just take that pressure,
yeah,
off,
exactly.
Like, you don't have to be the one that has the wand, and if you've got it, like, pass it around, we could all use a little bit of that, but like no one's going to do this perfectly, but we must do our best. So even if that's reducing the more like negative or damaging habits we have, that will have a huge impact.
Yeah, it's a step in the, yeah, right direction.
I think as well, I think it's opening up the conversation and saying, you know, creating safe spaces to be, yes, able to talk in. And never, I mean, I don't have kids, so I don't know how it is raising little people. But
you do. You have met children before.
I have met children. Yeah,
encountered these tiny humans.
I don't know it. What I mean is, I don't know the pressure mentally, yeah, that a parent has. But I think opening the conversation and not judging a young person's thought process and saying that's wrong, you shouldn't feel like that. This is the reality.
Yeah.
I think. I would imagine that will have a massive knock-on effect in terms of the needle moving.
Yeah.
Agree.
And stop outward comparison, you know?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
But it's okay to compare.
Yes. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise, the same with everything. If you try and get too neutral, yeah. Because sometimes if you removed all comparison, you might remove celebration as well.
Yeah.
That's... You know, it's... Because it's really hard to say to kids you did the best, but you can say it. You can own it.
Totally.
I think I always try and do some kind of conclusion. It's kind of too massive to do it, but as I've touched on before, comparison does sound quite innocent, and then you delve into it and it is pretty meaty.
Yeah, that's because I will often have a conversation, someone say, I know it sounds silly, but I know this sounds stupid, I know I'm just making things up. It's like, no, you're not. Like, if you feel it, it's real. Do not cancel your feelings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, your feelings are your feelings. Mine might be different, but your feelings are your feelings. Stop squashing them, because they like hold jewels of insight for us. And us beating ourselves up about how we feel is just like, nobody ever wins. And again, it's like, find a safe space, whether it's your own personal journal that like is hidden in your bedside table, or it's a WhatsApp group of pals, or it's whatever it is, find a safe space for you to explore this, because you're not making this up. Like, we are in an epidemic at the moment. It's never been as bad as it is
actually,
now.
That's a question I haven't asked, but surely it is heightened by the fact that we can see what everyone we ever met is up to. You know, once upon a time, I wouldn't have known what people I went to school with.
You
would have
been passed down
through
anecdotes and gossip. Yeah. And now I kind of describe it like we're in a Las Vegas of comparison.
Yeah,
it's on all the time.
Yeah.
time. And that's why, you know, a couple of the respondees saying they're around, be careful about who they're following on social media. Mm. Yeah, but learn to manage it, because we can't detox from this. Like, no. It's on all the time. You've got to discuss, like, you've got to be really discerning about when you step into the room and step out of the room.
Yes.
It's almost like you've got to recognise your demons before you start feeding them up.
Totally.
You go, hey, oh, have more, feel worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting. But, your aim is to be comparison free, and that might be a real North Star, but we can work on it and it can get better. Yeah. And it is learning to acknowledge those feelings and then allowing them to pass through.
And that, like, neutrality is sexy. Yeah. Imagine, like, see, you know, when you scroll and you might have been triggered by something and then you just don't feel anything at all. I'm like, oh, I've cracked it. Yeah. I don't feel anything. But the problem is,
this is only for me with my relationship with my body. I feel like I've cracked it, and then I'm knackered and overwhelmed, and it comes back. And that is the thing with anything like this. It's never going to be this linear journey, and it can sometimes.
But you wouldn't be human if it was linear. You'd be a robot.
Yeah.
And it's okay to go up and down and up and down on the journey, because you wouldn't know the highs if you didn't recognize the lows. Yeah. So with your body, when you have those triggers of comparison, and it's okay to have that. Yeah. Just let yourself go down and then start the journey climbing back up and going, no, it's okay, because knowing what's happening is the massive key of going, I feel like this because of this.
Yeah.
And this is what I can do to make myself feel better.
Because there must be, for me, when I start talking negatively about my body, it means I'm overwhelmed, and I'm sure comparison must be... There must be things
definitely. If you are feeling happy and you've got your own plan and you're feeling all right in yourself, like, you won't notice.
You're not even picking up your phone as well. Yeah. You know, my happiest times, I'm not on my phone.
Yeah. You're just bobbing along in life. Yeah. But when you're feeling like a bit depleted or unfocused or just not having a very good day, it can be as complex as that.
Yeah.
That's when it's like the window's open and it can get in.
And there's lots. It's all about the why.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening? Yeah. Why am I feeling like? If you're feeling not great about your body and you're saying it's overwhelmed, and what are you, pressure, stress eating, and you're rushed and you're panicked and you're eating, and then you're feeling bloated, and then nothing's fitting, and then you're having the wardrobe mapped out, it all goes back.
Three things before we finish up. Where can people find you, and is there anything you want to shout about?
You can find me on the gram at Lucy Sheridan, and I would love to shout about my book The Comparison Cure.
You can find me on the gram at Jules Von Herb, and also my self-tan brand at the Isle of Paradise. It's all about empowerment and feeling better.
One more question for you guys. If you could have an honest conversation with one person, who would it be and what would you say?
It'd be a family member. I would ask them about, like, why have we misunderstood each other for so long, and what can, like, a new chapter look like for us?
I think I'd have a conversation with myself at... anywhere between the age of 15 and 20. I think I'd just go back and unpick so much stuff that is now so knotted that I think, I'd go back and have a good old chat.
It feels cathartic even to admit it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I could cry now. I'd go back to there and go, it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't be 15 for all the money in the world, would you?
No.
And then I always ask my audience to complete this sentence. I'll be honest, I can't stop eating, wasn't ready for kids, would prefer to have a nap than go and visit my in-laws, adore my husband, and petrified of ET, just posted a picture where I knew I looked better than the other person in there. I think weddings are a ball ache. I hate Coldplay. I hate musical theatre. And then I like to add a bit of honesty from myself. I sometimes keep my earplugs in longer than necessary. I like to keep them... I have to sleep in them every night. And sometimes I come down and I make a cup of tea and I can't quite hear my children.
It's not ready there.
For about half an hour. And I really find it a lovely way to start the day. So there we go.
Love it.
I've been Clebbie Telford, and this wonderful pair have been Jules Von Hepp and Lucy Sheridan, and this has been Honestly Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your mates all about it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, CT.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Honestly. You can't beat an honest chat. I find it so reassuring and educational, and hope you do too. And I'm not the only one committed to encouraging more open conversation. So do our sponsors, Smarty Mobile, the transparent mobile network that makes keeping in touch that bit easier and cheaper. If you found this week's episode interesting, which I hope you did, I'd love to know your thoughts. So please do give me a rating or review, and even better, hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get each week's episode delivered straight to you.